just going to read a little passage from 2 Corinthians, almost as an introduction to the baptisms. And that's what I really want to talk about. You know, what's going on today? What are we seeing? What is this all about? And so that's what I'm going to do, just introduce that. So just read from 2 Corinthians. It's a passage that just keeps coming up, and I think we're going to come back to this in the coming weeks and months. But 2 Corinthians 5:14-19, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. This is the phrase I want us to concentrate a little bit on today. From now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. From now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. So there's plenty there that we're not even going to touch on today, but we are going to in the coming weeks, because I think there's some gems here that I think we need to take hold of a little bit more. But let me pray, and then I'll press on. Father, we thank you for your word, and we just invite you to come and speak to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. Give us ears to hear what you want to say today. Thank you that your word is what matters in this moment. We need to grab hold of it, take hold of it. We need to hear it. So, Lord, would you just speak to us now and give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying. Amen. 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 In this age of airbrushing and green screen technology, things are often not quite as they seem. You can manipulate and change all sorts of things to make it see and seem like you want it to see and seem. What the reality of a situation often is getting harder and harder to see, isn't it? If we're honest, our eyes are often trained to see and perceive in a certain way. We're encouraged to see at a very surface and at times superficial level, isn't that right? A passage today says, We've got to get rid of that. We've got to look in a different way. That's what it's saying. It's saying we've got to look beyond the physical reality and see that there is something more that we need to embrace, that we need to take hold of. There's another level which we need to look at or look to understand, because it changes our perceptions of what is actually happening in front of us. Paul, you know, who wrote this passage, initially uses Jesus as an example of this. You know, he was talking about not looking at things from a natural or a worldly point of view. The word he uses there is this word flesh. It's like the physical. And he's saying we shouldn't look in that way. We need to look beyond. He says this is how we look to Jesus. Some people look to Jesus. He says this is how they initially looked at him, but through his life, his death, his resurrection, through his ascension, through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, there was a recognition by some at least that there was so much more to this man than just a man. It says there, we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who should live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Something powerful, something important happened when that man died on the cross. It wasn't the same as the guys either side of him. It wasn't the same as all those other people that the Romans crucified. There was something different about this death. something that we need to look beyond it to understand and to appreciate. Jesus was dying so that all could live. His death meant the end of death. His death meant the end of death, because he was taking every cause of death, every separation from God upon himself as he was nailed to the cross. Everything that could divide, every accusation, every sin that separates us from that relationship that we are called and created to be in, everything he took upon himself when he was nailed to the tree. We need to look beyond, don't we? We need to look beyond the man hanging on the cross to see what's happening, to see the significance, to see the importance, the impact of that today, here and now. There's another level, a depth or dimension that we need to look at it. And it's through these eyes, these eyes of kind of looking beyond the natural, if you like, what we see before us, that I want to apply now to what is going to happen in a few moments' time when those five people are going to be basically shoved under the water. Because for the person who's not used to seeing this and who doesn't understand the context, it's a bit weird, isn't it? For saying that, Linda and I had a school here recently, and we were doing a session about the church. They want us to talk about what we do here in this church, and we have the baptistry open, and we were showing Graham, where are you? We were showing Graham's baptism. You were here, weren't you, actually? And so we were just saying, this is part of who we are, a little bit of explanation. And this teacher was transfixed and absolutely bowled over by what was happening. Didn't have a clue, but something stirred within him. Yeah? Because what happened is that there was a looking beyond. What was happening in the natural made no sense, but what it symbolized, what it meant, actually stirred and captured something deep within him. I don't think we even played the testimony, did he? It was literally Graham being dunked in the water. So I want to look beyond just for a moment. And it's just a little bit of teaching really about, and to help you understand what we're going to be doing in a few moments' time when these guys come into this pool. First thing is that we can view it very sort of practically. We can view it very kind of pragmatically. Jesus was baptized. He is our model. So we are baptized. Actually, a little bit more than that. Jesus commands, he instructs us to be baptized. He says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. What these guys are doing is a simple act of obedience. Jesus says I should be baptized, so what? Get baptized. He's just doing what Jesus commands. This is what it says about the people who do what Jesus commands. He says, you're my friends if you do what I command. For this reason, I think the early church has practiced baptism. You know, you see this on the day of Pentecost. It says there in Acts 2, when the people heard Peter's sermon, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent, which means turn, change the way you think, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You just read on through Acts and you see it time and time again. The Ethiopian official, a guy called Philip, comes alongside him. He's reading the Bible. Philip's there to explain. Makes a commitment. And there's water. Why shouldn't I get baptized? I love that. It's like no 12-week course there. I've believed in Jesus. There's some water. Come on, let's do it. Paul was baptized by Ananias after meeting Jesus on the road to Damascus. Lydia. She was a trader in fine purple cloth in Philippi, became a Christian. And then also at that time, you've got the Philippian jailer. He was baptized by Paul. So it was natural and normal. In fact, it's probably fair to say that there wasn't such a thing as an unbaptized believer in the early church. It just happened. It was an integral part of the life of the church. So there is that more practical kind of more pragmatic. You know, this is a way, you know, way of coming at this. It's just the way it is. It's just what we do. But there's so much more. And this is where we need to just say, let's look beyond. And let's just think for a moment about what these guys are going to be doing when they come into the water. But I want to ask you this question as they do it. What do you see? What do you see? And I want to encourage you just to think about what you see as these guys come into the water. So just a few points about what's going to happen as the guys come into the water and get baptized. What you're going to see is you're going to see a solidarity with Christ. A solidarity with Christ. Baptism is a really powerful way of declaring and displaying our solidarity with Christ. When you go under the water, you will identify yourself with Jesus, who died and was buried. And there's this moment when their noses just go under the water, and there's a split second when they disappear. And in that moment, it's like that moment when Christ died. Christ died. And then they come out. You do come out, promise. And it is a split second. You know, there's that moment, that split second, and you're going to disappear like Jesus off the face of the earth. But then, like Christ, you will symbolically rise from the dead. In your baptism, you're effectively saying, yes, Lord, you died for me. Yes, Lord, you rose for me. Paul puts it this way. He says, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Death, resurrection. The old is gone. The new has come. We're looking beyond. It's more than just being dunked in a big pool of water. There's something happening here that reflects what's going on inside each of these guys. Yeah, we've got to remember that. We've got to be looking beyond. So there's this solidarity with Christ, this connection with him, who Paul says, as we read earlier, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The new creation has come, the old is gone, and the new is here. But then there's also a revolution happening. You know, there's something revolutionary about what is about to happen in this pool. Yeah? To be united with Christ in baptism is more than a dramatic statement of belief. It's a celebration of new life in Christ. And as you go under the water, you guys are going to be declaring your resolve to die to your old way of living. And as you rise from the water, you are declaring your resolve to live and follow Christ's pattern, to live by his Spirit. That's the revolutionary bit. Guys, baptism marks the moment of your public surrender to Christ, when you turn from your sin and when you publicly make Jesus the Lord of your life and of your lifestyle. That's the revolutionary bit. It's about following him. It's about serving him. It's about loving him. No matter. We're going to see a cleansing. We're going to see a cleansing. You know, another consequence of giving ourselves to Jesus and committing ourselves to him is that we're forgiven. I'm really glad about that. Because in that forgiveness, there is a sweeping away, as we've already celebrated today, everything that gets in the way of our relationship with God. That's the relationship we're created for. I do believe that if we're not living in that relationship, there will always be a gap. There will always be something not quite as it should be. But praise God for his forgiveness, the forgiveness that he secured for us through Christ's death on the cross, because that has secured our forgiveness. We can come into that relationship with him. Everything is swept away. So there is a cleansing. Not that this water is special. It's not holy water, it's just water. But it does symbolize and it does reflect the cleansing that is ours in Christ when we come to him. A couple of passages says, get up and be baptized, said Ananias to Paul, and wash your sins away, calling on his name. Later describes baptism as the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit. So that's a sign of an inner cleansing. Next thing we're going to see is we're going to see a sign of the Spirit's presence. Yeah, a sign of the Spirit's presence. Baptism is a sign and a celebration of the Holy Spirit's presence. You know, it's an opportunity for us to really celebrate this. As you guys are immersed in the water, as you are baptized, there is not one bit of you that won't be touched by this water. You're going to be saturated. You're going to be soaked. You're going to be overwhelmed. You're going to be immersed. And that is what God wants to do with us. That's what he wants to pour out upon each one of us by his Holy Spirit. He doesn't want to sprinkle. He wants us to be overwhelmed and immersed by the power of his Holy Spirit. Inside and out. And I think that, again, it's a very sort of symbolic thing that's happening here. But let's look beyond, you know. Again, just because we don't go in the mortar doesn't mean that you're automatically going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But we are going to pray today. We are going to pray that you know that fresh filling of the power of the Holy Spirit in each one of you today as you go into that water and as we lay hands on you afterwards and pray. Finally, we're going to see the family grow today. We're going to see the family grow. All these guys were part of the church before today, but there's something that we are celebrating and we are just really kind of excited about, and that is actually the family just got a bit bigger. The worldwide family, the church of God, and praise God, this little bit of it. And it's a delight and it's a joy to welcome these folks and say, yeah, you're part of God's family. You know, some of you are younger and will go on from this place in years to come. And our prayer for you is that you will always, always, always be really intentional about setting yourself in just a part of God's family somewhere. It says there in 1 Corinthians 12:13, we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. So that's just a few thoughts from me about what is going to happen today. These guys are going to be baptized, but it's so much more than what we see on the surface. And I just wanted to encourage us to look beyond. And I want to encourage us, I'm going to pray for us in a moment, to ask the question, what do you see? And I want to encourage you to think about what's happening in your heart. What's going on in here or in here as you watch these guys? Some of you will be remembering when you were baptized. Some of you will be feeling the Holy Spirit just gently kicking you up the backside to say, come on, time for you to get in. Some of you will be saying, do you know, I need to make a decision on Christ. You know, I'm hearing this stuff and it's stirring within me. And some of you will be having to decide, you know, is this something I have to act on and do something about? So I just want to encourage you today. What do you see? What do you see? And look beyond. Look beyond. Don't be afraid to ask the bigger questions. For you personally, the bigger questions. What do you see?